The ancient world, after a period of considerable development, was submerged by a universal flood. Early humanity had made great progress in art and science. But the spread of sin had kept pace with the increase in the world population. Every inclination of man's heart was only evil all the time. The Word of God mentions marriages that transgressed God's principles and the appearance of exceptionally tall, strong, and wicked individuals, well-known personalities of the ancient world, who were born of these sinful unions. All the people on earth had corrupted their ways, and the world was full of lust, violence, and injustice. The Lord Jesus compared the state of humanity of Noah's time to the conditions that will prevail before his return. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man," he said to his disciples. Hardened by sin, the human race will continue to follow its evil ways. Life will go on as usual, up to the moment of the sudden coming of judgment upon corrupt humanity. Before striking, however, God gives man time to repent. As far as the ancient world was concerned, Jude's epistle tells us that Enoch, Noah's great-grandfather, prophesied during his lifetime about the coming judgment. Noah himself was continually preaching to his contemporaries, by deed and word, throughout the years of God's patience, warning them of the danger they were in. "For God," says Peter in his second epistle, "does not wish anyone to perish, but that all might come to repentance." The Lord's Spirit had been contending with man to restrain the evil influences of ungodly society, but that too would cease. "My Spirit will not contend with man forever," said the Lord, and he reduced human life expectancy to 120 years. Only Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So God spoke to him to announce the coming judgment. "I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth," he said, "to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth, will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you." In order to save his faithful servant and preserve the different species of animal life, God told Noah to build an ark. This word means box or chest in Hebrew. The ark was to be big enough to provide protection for Noah and his family and for a couple of all living creatures, four-footed animals, birds, and reptiles. God himself gave Noah the plan of construction for the ark. It was to be built of very resistant wood and coated with pitch inside and out to make it watertight. Its dimensions were vast. Measured in cubits, a length varying between 45 and 52 centimeters, the ark was approximately 137 meters long, 23 meters wide, and 14 meters high. It was the largest boat ever built until the coming of the great transatlantic liners towards the end of the 19th century. The proportions of the ark were perfect for stability in the open sea, making it almost unsinkable. Designed to float rather than sail, the boat had no means of locomotion, no rudder, not even a pilot's cabin. On the other hand, it was able to bear a far greater load than an ordinary ship, and was perfectly designed to weather even the most violent storms. It had a lower, middle, and upper deck, with rooms to accommodate the animals. There was a door in the side of the ark. An opening, about 45 centimeters high, ran round the boat just under the roof, providing light and air. This opening was probably not the only means of giving light to the huge vessel, for another window is also mentioned in the Bible. Specialists have calculated that the total available space inside the ark was more than enough to lodge Noah's family of eight, as well as specimens of all animals on earth and birds, with the food and water needed. Noah built the ark exactly as God had told him. His faith must have been severely tested, for this preacher of righteousness, as the Apostle Peter calls him, was without doubt the laughingstock of all his contemporaries. The huge, flat-bottomed boat, three stories high, rested on dry land. There was no possibility of making it float, and the idea of a universal flood must have seemed the height of folly to an unbelieving world. Nevertheless, Noah, with the help of his three sons, and probably some outside labor as well that he had to pay, tirelessly carried on with his work, showing men the way of safety. A century or more went by, and at last the ark was ready. Next episode, the flood.